Living Theology Friends Letter, number 1118, Ballyon Combs, May 1st, 2011. This is the 17th in a series about the church. This one is entitled Home. We hear the home is where the heart is, and that's an important and appropriate definition for the Christian also. The following prophecy has been fulfilled for all who are in Christ, Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. With that new heart, there's also the new home. Ephesians 2, 4-7, But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The verses just prior to this, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3, state that the people chosen by God for a new birth were dead in trespasses and sins and were following the directions of Satan. Those people had no redeeming qualities before holy God, but he acted out of his mercy and great love. God gave them new life with Christ and even raised them up with him and set them in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Of course, placing these Christians in heaven is a spiritual event, but that doesn't make it any less real. Spiritually, those who have been born again are seated in their new home in heaven with God, and one day this fact will be revealed to an entire world so that everyone can see what God has done. Verse 7. Everyone will know the mercy that God has showed to his children. His riches and grace and kindness toward those children will be clearly revealed for all to see. Colossians 1:13 says that, For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. When Christians are born again, they are instantly transferred from Satan's dark kingdom to the light of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This kingdom is a spiritual reality here and now, although it will also be present more fully when Jesus returns to rule forever. Some people speak of the already and not yet regarding the kingdom of heaven. Both Ephesians 2:6 and Colossians 1:3 concern a spiritual event, but it is as real as any other event for those who have been born again. A kingdom consists of people ruled by a king, and Christians acknowledge Jesus Christ as their king and are thus subjects of his kingdom. Jesus reigns in eternity, rules over his church, those people who have been born again, and in God's perfect time, he will return to rule the earth as King of Kings. Philippians 3:20, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses the word our emphatically to contrast true believers from pretenders. Since our citizenship is in heaven, we are primarily bound by the laws of that realm. The translation above of Philippians 3:20 is correct in stating that we are eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, is stated in verse 20 of chapter 3. We have already read from Ephesians 2:6 and Colossians 1:3 that Christians are immediately transferred spiritually into heaven when they're born again. Paul is stating his longing for the return of Jesus and is teaching Christians to have God's perspective on earthly events. Our spiritual state is our eternal state, and the more we mold our conscience by the Word of God, the more real our heavenly perspective will become. One challenge most of us face is to keep life in an eternal perspective, what will last forever and what is trivial and temporary. Our love for God and others guides our daily lives as we seek to live, to glorify Him and serve Him as He commands. 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Peter urges his Christian readers to realize that they are aliens and strangers in the land where they currently physically live. The author of Hebrews also spoke of Christians not being limited to an earthly city, Hebrews 13:14. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Abraham also realized that he was a stranger in the earthly place in which he died, Genesis 23:4. No city will last forever, so Christians should not have an attitude of trust in anything of this world. The city to which all Christians look is outside of any earthly city. The Christian is not to trust for security anything worldly, but only the celestial city and the peace that exceeds any human expectation. Because of that security and love we have for our Father, we should continually offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise to Him. Romans 12:1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Those who have been born again have already received grace from God regarding righteousness because they possess the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thus, Christians have no fear of death and judgment from God as they've already passed into eternal life with God. This is called realized eschatology because the end times are already attained by those who were born again. Christians are then already home in a spiritual sense and eagerly await the return of Jesus Christ and the total realization of that home as stated in Revelation 21 verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Praise him today for that eternal home, and practice citizenship in that kingdom now. God bless you, each and every one.